Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we will endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristinharrisburg.com. You'll find these radio program and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos on various subjects and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died in order that you might be saved from your sin. We've been looking at the subject of conversion, and this morning we're going to talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26, because this is where this account is found, verse 26 to the end of the chapter. Now, a brief analysis of this conversion is, in verse 26 through 29, Philip is instructed by the angel to go, and the Holy Spirit, to go to a place called Gaza. And Philip preaches Christ to the Ethiopian from the Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 53. In verses 38 and 39, the Ethiopian responds to the preaching of Philip by believing and obeying the gospel. In verse number 40, Philip was sent away to go preach into the cities until he comes to Caesarea. And so let us look at the conversion in Acts chapter 8. Now, first of all, let's look a little bit about the eunuch himself. Let's look at verse 26. Now, beginning verse 27. Now he rose and went, and behold, there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I want you to understand that this tells us something about the eunuch. In this particular chapter, we learn that he's an honorable man. If he's in charge of a queen's treasury, then he's a man of integrity. He's a man of honesty. He has character. But I also want you to notice that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. How far a journey is that? That's 1,000 miles. He had come 1,000 miles in order to worship God. This tells us that if he came to worship in Jerusalem, that he had traveled over 1,000 miles, that he probably was a proselyte. He was a believer in God. But why would you travel? We're not talking by a plane or a train or a car, but we're talking by a chariot. He came over 1,000 miles to worship God. So here's a man that had a belief in God, and he was a religious person. Now, and it says that when he was returning, he was sitting in the chariot, and he was reading Isaiah. Now, again, that's an Old Testament prophet. That's an Old Testament prophet, the book he was reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, that's important because we're going to see as we begin in verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said to him, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now notice, he is reading from the prophet Isaiah. This again shows the religious desire that the eunuch had. He not only was a believer in God, he not only made a thousand mile trip in order to worship God, he was also reading from the prophet Isaiah, showing us that he wanted to increase his understanding of God's word. And he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip asked him a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And he acknowledges, no, how can I unless some man guide me? And he asked Philip to come with him in the chariot and sit with him and explain what he was reading. Now, the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. Now, Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about the suffering servant or the suffering Savior. That is a prophecy about the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. Now, notice the things that we read. Now, what would be the eunuch's natural question? What question might he ask Philip about what he read? Verse 34 said, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this of himself or some other man? Now, what he wanted to know, he wanted to know who Isaiah was talking about. Who was Isaiah talking about? Was he talking about himself or was he talking about someone else? He understood that Isaiah was making a reference to someone. He wasn't sure who that someone was. And so he asked Philip, who is this about? What are these words? Who are these words concerning? What person are these words concerned about? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now, he didn't go to the gospel. He began in the Old Testament. He began in the Old Testament, and he began in Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. And he began at that scripture in Acts, in Isaiah 53, and he preached Jesus to the eunuch. He preached Jesus out of the Old Testament scripture. But you notice, Jesus made this challenge even to the Jews when he was on the earth. In John 5:39, he said, search the scriptures. Now he's talking about the Old Testament. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. He says that Old Testament testifies about me. If you read that Old Testament, you'll read about me. And you'll know that what I'm telling you is true because it was prophesying about the things that I'm doing, and it would validate that I'm who I claim to be. Now, look at verse 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now, you know what? I don't know what's included in preaching Jesus. The sermon that he used, he began in Isaiah 53. Whatever else he said, preaching Jesus, I know one thing it included, something that the religious world denies, that it's essential to salvation. But in preaching Jesus, I know one thing that's necessary, and it's baptism, because that's what he preached. Now, how do I know that? Why did he ask the question? See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Go back to Isaiah 53 and see if Isaiah mentioned anything about baptism. He didn't mention anything about baptism when he was prophesying about the suffering servant. No, baptism was included in the preaching of Jesus. Whatever it means to preach Jesus must include baptism because that's what it included here in Acts 8. Now notice, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What's that? That's a confession. That's a confession that he believed what the prophet said in Isaiah 53, and he believed the preaching of Jesus, and he was willing to acknowledge his faith in Christ. And then he understood that what that required of him is that he needed to be baptized. Why would he ask Philip, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? If baptism is not essential, then why did the eunuch ask Philip to be baptized? It had to come from the preaching of Jesus. That's a necessary inference. That's a necessary inference that the preaching of Jesus includes baptism. And then confession is part of the formula. He had to confess and acknowledge his belief in the deity of Christ. And then in verse 38, He commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, notice they went into the water, and then they came out of the water. Now, there are those who claim that when they went into the water, that he just sprinkled him. No, you could sprinkle him in the chariot. You wouldn't have to take him in the water to sprinkle him. You could get some water in a gourd, in a cup, and you could pour it on him. But they went into the water. He came up out of the water. And so going into the water and coming out of the water. Again, that's what baptism is. Baptism is the immersion. It is going under the water. Why? Romans 6 says it's the way that we contact the bluffs of Christ. And when he came up out of the water, it says that he went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because now he's saved. Now he's part of he's been added to the church. We read that in the conversion in Acts chapter 2. He's been saved. He's now in the body of Christ. He's now a child of God. Now, but notice, what did the eunuch do? The eunuch heard the word of God. And he heard the word of God beginning in the Old Testament. Beginning in Isaiah 53, Philip preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you could argue all day about whether baptism is essential to salvation, but we've already seen in the other two accounts that they were baptized in Acts 2. They were baptized, the Samaritans believed and were baptized, and now we see the eunuch believing, confessing, and being baptized. So whatever is included in preaching Jesus, I know two things that are included. One is baptism, and the other is confession. Both of those are included in preaching Jesus. So pray tell me, dear listener, how people today claim that baptism has nothing to do with one's salvation. It has nothing to do with whether one is truly converted, and it has nothing to do to put one in Christ. Yet in the first three conversions that we've seen, they've all ended at the water. And you know what? I'll give you a little taste of what's ahead. We're going to find out that every conversion ends at the water. Why? Why does it end there? Because that's where something takes place. Not the water itself, but what the water represents. Now notice, by preaching Jesus, the eunuch knew that baptism was necessary. He knew by the preaching of Jesus. So here's my question, dear listener. If I'm going to preach Jesus to you today, and I'm going to preach Jesus to you as a sinner, and you need to obey the gospel, you might not know everything that's included in that, but you know two things that better be included. One is confession, and the other is baptism, because that's what's in this text. This text tells us and confirms that baptism is part of the equation, and so is confession. And we know repentance because we read that in Acts 2. And we know by the life that your life has to change. We know that by the Samaritans and by Simon the sorcerer. So here, when you put it all together, you can see the picture of hearing the word of God, believing it, turning away from sin, acknowledging your belief in Christ, and submitting to baptism. That's what we read. That's what the book says. Why isn't that what people are preaching? Ask yourself that.